Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
From our top secret, highly secure headquarters, this is the Spurs Insider with Jeffrey McDonald, Nick Talbot, Tom Orsborn. I am Mike Finger, hosting a podcast about a team that has not won an NBA game since our last podcast, which might have been 2 weeks ago.
At least.
Who can keep track of time with these local Cagers who have lost? What is the latest number?
As of this morning,
yes.
What is today? Tuesday morning?
Today's Tuesday morning.
That would be 11 in a row.
And 16 of 17?
That's correct. They were 5-2 at one point.
And now?
6-412.
Okay.
Two to go to match the franchise record.
You're excited
four,
about
four
that.
Four losses in a row, which is 13 losses in a row.
Yes.
Nate, set in which year, Tom?
88-89.
Who was the star of the 88-89 team? Willie Anderson?
Peter Goodmanson?
Peter Goodmanson? Was it Cadillac Anderson?
I was about to ask if Cadillac Anderson was on that team. He was one of the more popular Spurs.
Greg Cadillac. I was blanking on the real first name. Greg Cadillac Anderson.
Do you know how Greg? We're going to get off on.
Because he rode a bicycle.
I was about to.
Around the UH
campus. You're ruining
campus.
My trivia questions. He rode a bicycle where?
Around the UH campus,
Tom. We are hitting
and where's
viral
the UH?
Notes here. UH is in Hawaii, the University of Hawaii.
Gotcha.
Right away, we're going viral with our analysis of the late 1980s Houston Cougars and San Antonio Spurs.
Do you
Spurs.
Think anyone that was around to watch Greg Cadillac Anderson at the Hemisphere Arena is now currently watching this podcast?
Watching the podcast?
Yes.
Or listening to the podcast?
Yes.
I don't know if they
are aware of what a podcast is.
YouTube, I think there's older people that get onto YouTube and watch cat videos and stuff.
They might
have stumbled onto it doing a search for, I don't know, what do people search
QAnon
for?
QAnon stuff.
My dad watches old car videos on YouTube.
There you go. I bet there are YouTube viewers watching this podcast who remember Hemisphere Arena that were around in 1988-89.
So what they do is they go on there and they Google Greg Cadillac Anderson and then our dumb faces pop up.
Maybe.
And then they click on it.
Maybe.
Probably. If my dad goes in there and types in Cadillac, this thing might come up. I'd be very surprised.
We need to work on the SEO there when we
search engine optimization.
Make sure Cadillac's in there somewhere.
Yes.
Your top players in 88-89, Alvin Robertson.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was my guy.
Well, let's not talk Willie too much Anderson. About Alvin Robertson. Willie Anderson.
Johnny Dawkins at the point.
JD.
Greg Anderson, Cadillac, uh-huh. And Frank Brickowski,
mm-hmm.
And Vernon Maxwell.
Have any of those guys been, I know one of them isn't, but have any of them been honored as alumnus of the game so far this year? You guys
of those? No.
I don't think so.
No.
They came close with Larry Krystkowiak.
Oh, I wasn't there for that.
Yeah.
I missed that game, I guess.
Yeah, you were, yeah.
The oldest Spur I remember coming back was like Corey Alexander so far.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend of the podcast, Raul Dominguez, at one of the games recently about alumni we'd like to see. And he mentioned Brickowski. He'd like to see if Brickowski
could come
back.
There.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Cadillac. I'm not sure if Cadillac is still around. Alvin Robertson probably will not be back. He's had some
troubles.
Breaking some news here. We're going to see some Johnny Moore action coming up here in the next few days.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Johnny Moore. One of my memories of Frank Burkowski is I was at a practice. I think it was in Denver. And he comes running by. Practices are open then. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting at courtside. And he comes running by. And he reaches over and he hits my Radio Shack.
Trash 80.
Hits it like that. Uh-huh. Goes dead.
For our younger viewers and listeners, a Radio Shack Trash 80 was the MacBook of its day. Top of the line, just the epitome of new technology that Tom Osborne used to use. And it had what? Two lines of text.
I think it was four lines.
Four max. Lines of text.
Yeah.
It was like a thing on the Flintstones where like a bird pecked at the keys for you or something.
It had a, what was it, a coupler that you.
Couplers, yes.
That you put the.
Attached to a thing we need called to even, a telephone.
We need to even explain what a telephone is. Yes. But there was a telephone with the. With the
corded telephone.
Correct.
Yeah.
With the earpiece and the mouthpiece, and you put it onto the Trash 80 and it would send your stories.
It's like your camera now, except you could only talk to people on it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Used to be the first thing you look for in a press box, telephone. You got to have a telephone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Anyway, did Burkowski do that on purpose? Like he was being he's joking around.
Friendly. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but he didn't know the delicate nature of the Trash 80.
And what did you do? What kind of crisis did that cause for you that day?
I think I had to dictate that game. Yeah.
For the viewers like and listeners, can explain what dictating is?
You would have to, back when you had deadlines that reached into
explain deadlines.
Deadlines then reached into 11:30-ish, maybe midnight.
Uh-huh. Oh, I thought you meant in the morning.
Yeah. So you would call the desk. And at the Express News. The copy desk. And at the Express News, inevitably, if someone had to take dictation in the office, I was giving dictation. Mm-hmm. They would get John Hines, wonderful colleague back then.
And I bet he did it with a smile on his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very, very, very eager to take your dictation.
You're exactly right. They would peel him off of him posting his high school scores.
Explain to the people what high school scores.
And he would take the dictation. But John was great at giving and taking dictation. Just the best ever.
Yeah. Did you have to you'd have to say where you wanted your commas?
Yes.
And your periods? Yes.
Period, close quotes.
Or let's say an
next graph.
Next graph.
Let's say an 800 word story. How long would you be on the phone dictating that?
With John? Not very long.
Would you write these out by hand then and then read them? Or you just do it off your head, off the top of your head?
Yeah, I usually did them. John could do it off the top of his head, and it'd be a damn good AP-style story, but there's no way I could,
It's a life wasted. It's a life wasted.
Yeah. No one cares. My first byline in the Express News was there's a little town west of here called Dehennis, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Never heard of it.
Where I was
never heard of it.
I was stationed as like an 18, 19-year-old. And there was a flood and nobody could get in or out. And we had somebody here who knew me and said, hey, this kid is going to college, making the mistake of his life, studying journalism. He's actually there. If we're covering this flood, he can go talk to some people for you. Oh. So I called in. As a youngster, and dictated a story to, I don't even remember who it was, but that was my byline in the Express News. Was
and you went and talked to like Aunt Bee and Ellie Mae,
Opie.
Opie and Jethro.
Floyd the Barber.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did the cement pond overflow that week or?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep. Anyway, that was
and the And I had the honor deal. Of interviewing you as a high school, you were a high school baseball star.
We're just going down memory lane today.
This is a heck of a podcast.
Well, when you've lost 11 games in a row, what else are you going to talk about here?
Was before my first byline. I was still in high school at the time and playing for a state championship, which we won.
Mike said, we're doing it for the fans.
We're doing it for the fans. Yeah.
Given cliches even then.
Tom Osborne, we can do the people who are watching on video can see this. I know I'm neglecting the audio listeners on the old school podcast, but Tom sat down when he covered baseball practice that day. He drove in and I'd recognized him from the paper. He was the hockey guy. Remember you had...
I was covering hockey then.
Yeah.
You had the iguanas.
He would have his...
Iguanas and the dragons.
And the dragons.
He would have his mugshot in the paper for his hockey columns. I was like, hey, we talked while
it's
we were
on the... It's the same mugshot that's still in the paper.
We were on the field
same for all of us.
Practicing that day, practicing our infield, whatever. And the coach had said, you know, the Express News might be here. And we saw the guy. Oh, that's the hockey guy. And so Tom talks to Bert Herman, our shortstop, and I on either side of him in the dugout. And Tom had his notebook out. I would think it was one of those steno notebooks. Mm-hmm. And he drew a line down the middle of the notebook, and he had Herman at the top of one and he had Finger at the top of the other. And then when we would answer his questions, he would write Bert's answers below Herman and my answers below.
It's genius.
And I was just like, this is genius. What? this guy is the greatest reporter of all time. And I told him that we were doing it for the fans, which was a complete lie. I was doing it for myself.
Just say you were misquoted.
But very early on in life, I learned that you're supposed to say things to sports reporters that you don't really mean. And so anyway, what's this podcast about again?
I don't know. We're doing it for the fans.
We're doing it for the fans. So do you want to talk about the local cagers or not?
Well, I guess we should. We should probably, I mean, it says right there. It doesn't say De Hennis Insider.
That's true.
So we might.
Glory Days Insider High School.
Do you have anything revelatory to say about the team that the listeners of this podcast might find insightful?
I don't know.
Keldon Johnson's not exact. I mean, he's part of this losing streak, isn't he?
Yeah, he's having a hard time. Like some of those shooting performances are just terrific lately. 5 of 20, 6 of 23. And he was so good in October. I just think I don't have anything revelatory. Like it's just, this is sort of what you expect when you have a not great roster to start with, and then you've got two starters have been out, Jakob Poeltl and Jeremy Sochan, and two key bench guys, and McDermott and Josh Richardson. So you start taking like four rotation players away from a team that was one of the worst in the league, and what you get is one that is worst in the history of the NBA so far in terms of net rating and those sort of metrics.
We should point out there's nothing flukish about this 6-18
right
start.
I think when they have all their guns, they're competitive and the games are more fun to watch and they still lose. But when you're playing like the guys that are playing 20, 25 minutes a game, you're going to end up getting smoked. Like there weren't a lot when they had all their guys, there weren't a lot of like down by 30 at half kind of things.
That's yes and no. From the beginning, and this all started because of the first game of the season when they were blown out by Charlotte. But they've been near last in the league in point differential for a long time.
Well, the thing is, what we're both saying is correct because they also just haven't had everybody together for much of that for reasons that are maybe on purpose and not on purpose.
Right.
Like, I think the injuries right now are pretty legit. We saw them all happen. Mm-hmm. But there were some times in there were some games in there where all of a sudden Devin Vassell's out. He's a little, or all of a sudden this guy. So I think what we're both saying is correct. But the four or five games when they've had their entire roster, it's been all right to watch.
Yeah. And I think it's fair to say that, I'm not going to speak to severity of injuries, but there is less of an urgency to bring guys back this season than there would be in a season when they're competing.
Exactly.
So you're gonna play it overly safe with all four of those guys you mentioned to not bring them back.
And basically what we're saying is they're going to be probably shorthanded all year in some capacity in most games. So you're going to see a lot more of this going forward probably.
Right. What else? I guess you could run through the two biggest injuries, Sochan and Poeltl. Is there any outlook there?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean,
you kind of wish that if you're a Spurs fan who wants to be somewhat interested in the season, you'd like to see more Jeremy Sochan.
I think the Spurs in general will probably be more likely to try to get him back on the floor. I mean, you want him to get as many minutes as possible, as long as he's healthy enough to do it. So I think he's probably on tap at some point. They've been off what they played on Sunday, and they were off Monday and today. They'll practice on Wednesday. We'll see who's back at practice on Wednesday.
The other three injured guys might be your top three
trade candidates. Yeah.
So you probably like to see them take the floor at some point so they can show what they have. Or
people know
the Thad Young deal from the last year or the year before where they held him out forever and they ended up getting a first-round pick for
people,
him.
People know.
Yeah, not to take pleasure in someone's misfortune, but it's been interesting to see how Keldon navigates this rough patch.
Yeah, we can go back to that.
He was a little defiant after the Phoenix game.
Like, okay, he was just – he shot nearly 40% from three last year, and everybody's thinking, oh, he's become a 40% three-point shooter. And then he started October that way, like on fire. And then all of a sudden, it's just – that part of his game has just fallen apart. And it doesn't even look to me like he's shooting the ball the same as he was in October, like the mechanics. He's back to shooting that ball where if you're watching on TV, it goes off the screen and comes back down. That's how he was shooting his first couple years when it wasn't working for him. And I don't know if that's just a glitch or what. And I guess what they're trying to get him to do is not be – so reliant on the three ball. Like, it can't make or break his night. Like they did against Phoenix the other day. They made a concerted effort to get, like, post him up. Like, get him to do something in the paint just to see the ball go in the basket. And he had his best game in weeks, but that was a...
It's gone full circle with him. Because there was a time when they wanted to pull him out, and now he's back in. They're pulling him back in.
The ideal would be the happy medium, right? Like, you could mix both parts of it, and that's where it's going. I think it's also worth noting he just turned 23. Like, this is still very much a work in progress.
And we don't know how much that getting the contract has affected him.
I also
mentally.
Thought what Trey Jones told me was pretty revelatory, too, to use your word, that, you know, some of it is a function of, like, the offense has just gone kaput, and a lot of that is guys being out. The guy they were running the offense through was Jakob Poeltl. He hasn't been around for a few games. So it's Keldon getting tougher shots, harder shots, kind of forcing things, pressing. You know, they get late in shot clock situations. He's got to just try to make something happen. And he's not that kind of player.
Sounds like somebody needs a session with Chip England.
Well, they were just in Oklahoma City. Maybe they could have powwowed with the Thunder shooting coach.
Maybe so. Speaking of I guess this is a transition to which teams in the league are in the same boat as your local Cavaliers.
And the Thunder aren't one of them.
The Thunder are not one of them at the moment. And like this season, some people get sick of hearing about it, but it is the topic of the year is the Victor Wembanyama.
I mean, it's the only thing keeping you going, right?
Right. So if you look at that competition, tankathon.com, you can check out the standings. They're not a sponsor. I don't know who I am.
Why don't you should do our website if you're going to give some
expressnews.com.
Yeah, we have the odds on there.
The odds are on expressnews.com of whether or not they can get Victor Wembanyama.
What else can you get off expressnews.com?
Oh, you can get local coverage of everything going on in your city in South Texas. You can get, like, we have food coverage. Our dining section is outstanding.
Chuck's Smoke Shack.
Chuck's Smoke Shack, our old friend of the podcast, Chuck Blount. You've got high school coverage from David Hinojosa, UT coverage from Nick Moyle.
UTSA coverage, come on, man.
UTSA coverage from Greg Luca. Texas A&M coverage from Brent Swarnham and just everything.
Is there any way I could sign up for a lose letter?
You could sign up for an Express News lose letter that covers all the Spurs stuff. Everything you could possibly want for a low, low price.
An award-winning columnist.
An award-winning columnist, Kerry Clack.
In Kerry Clack. Gilbert Garcia.
Gilbert Garcia.
Elaine Ayala.
Elaine Ayala. Nancy Johnson.
Yes.
Everyone doing great work at the Express News, except the host of this podcast. What were we talking? Oh, the fellow tankers.
Yes.
So I think things can change, but five teams right now are making up. They're not making up ground. They're separating themselves from the field right now in terms of the Wembanyama sweepstakes. You have your local Cagers. You have down the road the opponent this week at the AT&T Center, where I believe tickets are available. I don't think that game is sold out yet.
I'll check on that and get back to
you. Okay. Those are the Houston Rockets. Then you've got three Eastern Conference teams, your Detroit Pistons, your Orlando Magic, and your Hornets of Charlotte. Those five teams are sort of, like I said, separating from the field at the moment. And one thing that I find noteworthy about the other four besides your local Cagers is they've been through this before. And like this is going to be kind of a bummer for people who expect the lottery to save everything. And it could, because I think Wembanyama is a higher ceiling prospect than any of the guys that those that have gone recently. But the Houston Rockets have picked second and third overall in the past couple of years, I believe. The Detroit Pistons have picked first with Cade Cunningham and then got Ivy at three or four.
Four, I think, right?
The Charlotte Hornets got LaMelo Ball third a couple of years ago. The Orlando Magic just won the draft last year and have the odds-on favorite for Rookie of the Year in Paolo Banchero. And they're all still kind of in the bottom. So where I'm going with this is it's great to win the lottery, but it might take more than one. It takes time to build even when you get that stroke of luck. And again, this is kind of a downer, but anybody want to jump on that with thoughts about what explaining there?
It may take 3 or 4 years. I mean, you look at the Rockets, they're on what, this is going to be their third top five pick.
Yeah.
The Magic, I think, picked seventh once in that thing to get Wagner, right?
Yeah.
And then you look at
And Wagner worked out for them.
Yeah.
Failed picks.
Yeah. And they have Suggs too, right?
I haven't been watching the Magic closely to see how all these guys have been doing, but I think that Wagner and Banchero have been
successful. Yeah. Banchero's been very good. Yeah. Suggs was kind of a...
Well, I think it's just, if you look at the history of the NBA draft, the number one pick has rarely been just an automatic...
Right.
I don't want to say difference maker, but automatic, like, turns you into an automatic title contender. Right. There's a very short list of those people.
Right.
And Wimby might be that, or at least he might be the guy that you just add him to any roster and you're automatically contending for playoffs. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair thing to say.
I guess reasons to be hopeful for the Spurs in this situation. First of all, you know, you win the top pick. Wembanyama's the type that's going to be the centerpiece of something for a while. And even if he doesn't turn you around next year, you feel like that's something to build around. Also, there's still a lot of cap space on this team. So maybe the Spurs, who right now are not a free agent destination because people don't want to come to a small market team, and especially a small market team that's losing, well, all of a sudden you have a player like Wembanyama to play with that makes you more attractive. You have the cap space to do it, blah, blah, blah. You also have, even though we've been talking about Keldon Johnson's struggles, you have guys in Keldon Johnson, Devin Vassell, who look like they can be third and fourth pieces.
As much as we've talked about Keldon Johnson's struggles, Devin Vassell's been great.
Right.
Like, he's been exactly what you want to see from him this season.
Right. So those are reasons to think it could work. And I think we were looking this up earlier today before the podcast.
Don't tell them we do research.
Well.
They're going to start to expect that every week.
Very little research. But teams that win the lottery generally don't make the playoffs the next year. There's usually some kind of
extenuating circumstance.
Extenuating circumstance. One of the last to do it was the Cleveland Cavaliers, won the Andrew Wiggins lottery. And like Wiggins wasn't even a reason they went to the playoffs the next year. It's because that's the year they re-signed LeBron.
And they already had Kyrie.
But it doesn't, that was 2014.
Yeah.
Like the past few lotteries, I think Phoenix needed a few years after they won Ayton. It doesn't happen often. The Spurs, we go all the way back to the Tim Duncan lottery. And the Spurs would have made the playoffs regardless. Like Tim Duncan was outstanding.
Yeah.
But you already had... You know,
David coming
Robinson,
back, Sean Elliott coming back. Yeah. Like that, the team that won that lottery was like a 60-win team the year before. Right. They just were injury-riddled.
So I guess if there is a point here, it's that
we're going to do this again next year.
Winning the lottery won't be a cure-all. It'll be a big piece.
Yeah.
But and then also there's just the watching these teams the rest of the year. Like every win... Houston, as we're taping this on Tuesday, Houston went to double overtime, I think, last night to beat the Sixers.
Yeah, what are they doing?
That could be a huge result down the line.
Spurs were up 20 at OKC. You thought they were going to lose the losing streak there.
And OKC was shorthanded too, weren't they?
Yeah, and SGA did not play in that game.
Yeah.
And it was quite a fall from ahead defeat for your Spurs.
Yeah.
It was a costly win for those Thunder, though.
We talked earlier in an earlier podcast about how we might not really see the tanking go full bore in the league until the second half of the season. But these games now matter. Yeah. I think Now the Spurs are at a 25% rate. They won an even quarter of their games. Like that might – they might need to do worse than that over the course of a season to stay down there. And, yes, the lottery odds are even.
Pop's like, hold my Merlot.
Oh, well, we can talk about Pop a little bit and where he's having his Merlot. But the lottery odds have been even. There's less of a reward for being terrible. But still, you'd like to have the
most.
You need
to be bottom three, right? You need to be bottom three.
Bottom three is 14%. And then there's the competition within that bottom three, and that, and this doesn't matter for Wembanyama, but let's say you're third. You can, if you finish with the third worst record, you can finish as low as seven because the top four spots are picked out of lottery balls.
Yeah.
If you finish with the worst record, the lowest you can go is five. So there is like a slight advantage to being first rather than second, second rather than third rather than fourth, et cetera.
So the games like against the Rockets are huge.
They are.
They're huge. It's kind of like back in the day when you, the Spurs are like angling for seeding in the playoffs.
And playing the Rockets.
And playing the Rockets. Yes. It's like those are huge because you win that game, it's like a double whammy. You give them a loss and you take a win. And this way around, it's a double whammy. You give them a win and take a loss.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll see how that goes. Y'all want to talk about the current head coach of the Spurs based on the past couple of games has been Brett Brown, who's familiar with processes.
What I'm going to say is the pregame sessions with the coaches have been the longest of the year. Like, we can't get this guy out of the room.
Brett likes to talk.
Yeah. He's great.
He's great.
He's great.
Yep. I guess we can cover the bases and say that the Pop thing is nothing serious according to the team.
According to the team.
Minor medical procedure that's forced him to miss two straight games. He's expected to return Thursday against Houston.
Mm-hmm. And he was at the arena Friday to do the media session, and then somewhere between there and tip-off decided to pull the plug and rest up, heal up.
Yep. And what Brett Brown said before Sunday's game, what needs to be heard loudest is that it was minor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a minor medical procedure.
We can accept that, but it's also like they've played 24 games and he's missed three.
Yeah.
Brett was asked recently about, I think it was that game, about his thoughts on Greg Popovich coaching this really, really, really poor in terms of results team. Did he have anything interesting to say about that?
Nobody's better suited for it, said, based on his past, his present, his middle, his everything. You know, nobody's better suited to oversee this rebuilding period.
We've covered it a lot, both on the podcast and print. Maybe. But it is fascinating to watch, to think. I mean, has there ever been a coach that won five championships that is now just starting from scratch with a new, like, there? It's just fascinating to watch this guy that has been used to just rolling through the league and competing for championships every year and has won more games than anybody in NBA history. Like no one else in his shoes has signed up for this kind of job before. Yeah. I just thought that was interesting.
Winning is an illusion, he said.
That's true.
Maybe one of the reasons he's, you know, greatly suited for it is because he has Brett Brown by his side.
Yeah.
That's quite a tandem for a rebuilding project.
So for the Jeff and Tom who are grinding it out, showing up every day, practice, shoot arounds, games that many of us do not necessarily. I will make an admission as the host of the Spurs Insider podcast. I have not watched every minute of every Spurs game this year. I have taken a few quarters off. But you guys, what are you looking for the next 2 weeks, the next month, the next year? Like what storylines are you following? What keeps you engaged
it's
in covering this team?
I mean, it's the same old, same old. It's the whole purpose of this season on the floor is to identify those pieces that are going to be part of the future, part of the building blocks for the future, and how are they developing? What new skills are they adding? What habits are they forming? So it's a lot of it is just looking at Devin Vassell. A lot of it is looking at Keldon Johnson. Anybody else we'd call like a linchpin piece going forward?
linchpins yet, but it's interesting to see what Malachi Branham and Blake Wesley can do. And of course, Blake's been
Sohan is going to be a huge thing to watch going forward for sure.
Yeah.
And then it's, who are they going to trade? Like, what's the trade market look like as we near February with Jakob? And we got into that last week, didn't we? Or 2 weeks ago about Jakob and trade deadline. I don't know if you trade him or not, but you definitely have to kick the tires.
This is I'm not leading this anywhere. It's an honest question. What is Romeo Langford? How would you classify his?
I don't really.
He was a lottery pick at one point, right?
No, mid-first
rounder.
I think it was right outside at 14.
Yeah. I don't really classify him as like he's just part of the future.
Yeah.
But he's also a guy that doesn't hurt you if he's on your bench or something.
Right.
Plays hurt all the time.
No pun intended, but yeah, hurt is certainly applies to him.
He's a good defender, plays hard.
On the court.
Yeah.
Haven't really seen much from him offensively besides just little cuts and stuff. Like in this day and age, if you're going to play on the perimeter, you have to be able to shoot three-pointers, and I haven't seen that from him. But he's a guy that if he's your 10th, 11th, 12th guy right now for cheap, I don't mind him.
And 2 months into the Trey Jones as a starting point guard experience, how would you evaluate that?
I think we all know what he is. Like if he's not the starting point guard on a team that's competing for the playoffs, he's doing the best he can just being a facilitator. I think he definitely could. If he's your number 2 point guard, I think you're okay.
He's been better than expected and has shown leaps, but he's not your starting point guard on a playoff.
Just due to size and lack of shooting. I mean, but he's tough. He hustles. He's like a perfect, to me, number 2 point guard.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Well, I think going forward, if you could just move him down a spot, I think that's where.
Charles Bassey's in the mix, I guess.
Oh, gosh.
People to look at.
Yeah, sure.
He had a strong start. I don't think we've mentioned the words Charles Bassey on this podcast.
I think we talked about him when he first showed up.
I guess so. He came right out of the gates going crazy.
Well,
like he belonged, but I think he kind of hit his
they started game planning for him.
Yeah.
Brett Brown says he does things that make you go, wow, but there's just not enough consistency of those wows. And
like everybody else, he's 22.
Yeah.
It's a good year to
play a Charles Bassey.
Play a Charles Bassey. See what you have there.
You get the Taps crowd in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Sell some tickets.
Yeah.
Which we mentioned this earlier, but you said
Taps crowd.
They're selling tickets. They're bringing in alumnus of the game most nights. Yeah. Let me ask you this, because you're in the crowd every night. One thing that annoyed me earlier this year is they would announce Tony Parker as the alumni of the game, and they're still saying
alumni.
That's they've got to get on that.
I've changed it to alumnus, like in print.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go along with it.
Yeah. Alumni is plural, people.
Yes.
Like if we're going to be in the middle of this tankathon season, like we need to get our grammar at least straight. Like if the Spurs aren't going to win the court, they need to get their alumni's Latin right. I think whatever it is, you need to get your grammar correct. Tim Duncan was not the alumni of the game. He was the alumnus.
It was a heck of an alumnus of a game, though, that day for that game. People recognized him.
Many of the alumni, plural, of the game who come through do their little session with Bill and Sean and Michelle on the
good stuff.
On the TV crew. Did Tim Duncan do that?
Tim walked in and walked out.
Yeah. That's what I thought. So he's probably the one that
I also love that he chose
Iceman.
Iceman did.
I also love that Tim chose a 3 p.m. game on a Sunday to do his.
Yes.
He was home in time for the Bears kickoff.
And was that hyped or announced at all?
No.
So that's kind of baffling to me that you could get a few people in the seats if you announce that Tim Duncan's going to be.
It would almost be false advertising. Like you'd have to say, do you want to see Tim Duncan come wave at you for 15 seconds?
In like
and walk
a very
off?
Stylish ensemble.
He's dressed like a roadie for Judas Priest.
It was a neat moment.
He used to dress like a lumberjack, and now he's a roadie for Judas. I'm going to get in trouble, aren't I?
No, I think he would. He'd be cool with that. We all know.
Well, I'm never going to talk to him again.
Right.
So.
No, I mean, he looked stylish. There was a, I believe there was a tweet from GQ magazine with the photo of Tim Duncan.
Oh, do you remember what the caption was for that?
Well, that it was kind of an erroneous or misleading tweet.
Yes,
from GQ
our friend of the podcast, Don Harris, called this out. He tweeted directly at GQ.
Yes.
Tim has not left San Antonio.
GQ
still
said,
lives here.
GQ said Tim Duncan returns
to San Antonio.
I don't think Tim has left. He's over there at the Blackjack auto shop. Hanging out at the Spurs practice facility.
Well,
return to San Antonio as the alumni of the game.
Of the alumni of the game. Be all
let's
erroneous.
Get that right. Let's.
The pedantic insider.
But
as we're winding down the pedantic insider, as Luis just mentioned, what do you have? What are you saying, Tom?
Spurs, in fairness, Spurs have done a great job, I think, celebrating the 50th.
I think they have.
Ring of the Rowell docuseries and Bill Schoening's podcast and those interviews with, like you said, with Michelle and Bill Land and Sean Elliott. It's been good stuff.
It's all good stuff. Get your Latin right.
We're a little more than a month out from the Alamo Dome game. That'll be fun.
Latin used to be mandatory study in a lot of schools.
Really?
Way back when.
They tried, but I was like, I'm never going to Latin America. Like, I don't need to know this.
In the times of Radio Shack, Trash 80s, and telephones.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you speak Latin? Like we grew up speaking Latin in the home.
Yeah.
Is that back then?
Yeah.
I bet you went to some part of the masses that had Latin.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pre-Vatican 2 days.
On Oblate, probably.
That's right. Blessed Sacrament Parish School on Oblate.
There you go. See, I know a little bit about Tom Orsborn.
So you've interviewed each other now. You've interviewed each other.
Tom Orsborn and I have been interviewing each other since 1995, basically.
Been probing.
When he interviewed me as an 18-year-old.
Yeah. I've been fascinated by him ever since.
It's like,
little does he know, I'm working on that unauthorized biography.
It's sort of like Jane Goodall with the apes, studying this specimen.
This podcast has been way too much about my finger. But Tom Orsborn interviewed me in either the last week of May or the first week of June in 1995, because that's when we were about to go to state. I met another member of this podcast August or September of 1995.
Who?
That's when I met this jabroni. That's 27 years. It's insane. It's
like you can just feel the chemistry.
Yes.
It's like Lennon and McCartney meeting in Liverpool.
Yeah. Except they made timeless art. We made this. But this is something. And as we wind this down, we all can't be Lennon McCarthy.
McCarthy?
Lennon and McCartney. We can't be Lennon and McCarthy. We can't be Lennon and McCarthy, meaning L-E-N-I-N, and Joseph McCarthy.
I was thinking you were talking about the Cowboys coach. I could totally be that guy.
We can't be Mike McCarthy. We can't be all be Lennon and McCartney. We can't all be Orsborn and Talbot. We can't necessarily, no one would want to be Finger and McDonald, but we can be what we are. And I'm losing the thread again. But just be who you're going to be, and there's no telling. Whatever you make is something in the world that didn't exist before.
He's got it.
Make it your own.
Make it your own. Take pride in whatever you do, and take care of each other, and keep it real till next time.